Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this Pentecost Sunday. May the wind of the Spirit blow through this place today. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End on this Pentecost Sunday. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time. We're pleased that you've joined us. And those of us who are here all the time are going to seek you out, and we're going to shake your hand and welcome you. And if we don't get there fast enough, you come find us and you introduce yourself to us, because we want to know you and we want you to find a place here in this community of faith. If you'll look in your bulletin, you will find a number of different opportunities to be involved in what God is doing in and through West End. You'll find those in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to remind you of a few, however. It won't be long before our Guatemala mission team will be ready to leave, and our special communion offering this month went to help support the medical and construction supplies that they'll be taking and using down there. We still need some help reaching our $7,500 goal, so if you would care to add to that, you can simply mark that for Guatemala supplies, and that will help us to do everything we possibly can in God's name and on your behalf in Guatemala. Today's service this evening at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. If you have come before, you know what a respite that is. If you haven't, it is a place and a time of peace and prayer in a very noisy, busy world. And if that's what you're looking for, 5 p.m. today in the sanctuary. Also, our all-church lunch takes place today after this service in McWhirter Hall. We'll be greeting our new members and our confirmation class, our confirmands. So I know many of you will want to stay for that. And finally, our spring stock sale to support our youth mission trips is continuing. If you would like to be a part of that and haven't already, in Reed Hall, after the service, you can find Georgia and Katie Slattery, and they would be delighted to help you with that. And now, come Holy Spirit, our souls inspire.
Oh, How manifold are your works, O Lord! You send forth your Spirit, and they are created.
And so you renew the face of the earth.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will praise God while I have my need.
You may be seated. By sins and different sufferings, we are often darkened and blinded to find comfort. In the strong assurance of pardon, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Without your power, O God, we are lost. We have done the things we would avoid, and what you desire, we have not done. By your purifying fire, transform our lives. Guide us into honesty and compassion, so that filled with your peace, our dreams and visions may be one with yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. By the power in whom we live and move and have our being, I pronounce to you the complete forgiveness of all your sins through the Holy Trinity, one God, whose mercy is everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Let's listen now to a word from the Lord, a lesson from the gospel according to John. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, and if there are youngsters present who would care to come down, I'd love to have you come down and sit with me. Here come some folks. Good, good. You can just have a seat, sweetheart. Yeah, here we go. Wonderful. You see this colorful piece of cloth I have around my neck? That's called a stole. That means I wear it every week, and that means that I'm one of your pastors. If you look up here, you'll see Pastor Julie, Pastor Becky, and Pastor John all have stoles. And it's a sign that we get to be pastors of a church. Now, I got this stole on the very night that a bishop laid hands on my head and said that I could be a pastor officially. I didn't expect it because, you see, I was serving in Columbia, Tennessee, and the church there had made this as a surprise. The young woman who designed it and sewed it went on to design costumes for plays in New York. And on that very night, my good friend Bob Lewis was there, and my uncle Paul, who was also a pastor, they were both pastors, were there. And when I turned around after having the bishop lay hands on my head, my uncle put this around my neck and said, "A gift from your congregation." Every time I wear it, every time I see it, I remember that night, and I remember Bob Lewis and my Uncle Paul and the bishop, and I remember all those sweet people in Columbia who came up with the idea of giving me this, and I remember the young woman who made it, even though many of them I haven't seen in years. This is a reminder that I'm a pastor, but it's also a reminder of some very special people in my life who loved me. Now, our confirmation class, if you look here, our confirmation class also has stoles. That's because while we may not all be pastors, we are all ministers. We are all called to minister to each other. And this stole will be a reminder of this day, but it'll also be a reminder of a lot of very special people who love them as well. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I forget things sometimes, and it's helpful for me to have reminders. Jesus says that God's Spirit is here with us, reminding us of everything Jesus taught us. And when we hear the scripture read, or when we hear a sermon preached, or when we hear an anthem sung, or we sing a hymn, God's Spirit is here reminding us of what Jesus said. That there is a God who loves us very much, and that we are called to love other people just like God has loved us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for reminding us of your love in so many ways. And thank you for letting us share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you all for coming down. Okay, so I thought this was supposed to be Pentecost. Where's the wind? Where's the flames? Where are the people speaking in tongues, huh? Where is Acts chapter 2? Good, isn't that the Pentecost story? Isn't that what Pentecost is all about? Not always. Because you see that celebration we call Pentecost was actually a Jewish holiday called Shavuos or Shavuot, and it wasn't about any kind of dramatic thing happening at all. It was about bringing the very best that you have and offering it to God, called the first fruits. It was on that day that those Jewish folks were gathered, and a remarkable thing happened. A dramatic, sensational thing happens, but it's the only place in the whole Bible where something that dramatic happens when the Spirit comes. The rest of the time, the Spirit is pretty quiet. It's hovering over the deep before God speaks the very first words of creation. It's walking as a companion and surrounding those disciples of Jesus who will face being excluded from their communities of faith. They will face being dragged into court and having to testify about their faith. And ultimately, all but one, as far as we know, will face death with the Spirit quietly accompanying them. There's a professor at the seminary I attended. Dwight Judy is his name. He's written a book called A Quiet Pentecost. He talks about inviting the Spirit into our churches through our small groups, through the things we do week in and week out, through the ordinariness of our life together. Because you see, very rarely, if ever, will we experience the Spirit of God in the way that those disciples did on Pentecost. But that doesn't mean we don't experience the presence of God's Spirit. Now, Jesus says that this Spirit is going to do two things for us. First of all, the Spirit is going to teach us everything we need to know. And secondly, the Spirit is going to remind us of everything Jesus said. First of all, teach us. Well, as you can tell, the disciples were slow learners. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They still didn't get it, as evidenced by Philip's remark, "Well, if you just show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied." And Jesus says, "What have I been doing for the past 3 years? When you look at me, you see the most intimate glimpse of God you will ever get on this earth. More intimate than a parent's love. God's love walking around with you in the flesh. And you didn't get it?" Obviously, there's going to be some more teaching that needs to take place. Jesus is preparing his disciples for a time when he's not going to be with them, so he's not going to be there to do the teaching. So he makes a promise that the Spirit of God, called in this reading the Advocate, but it could also be translated the Companion, the one who travels with us, will be there to help those disciples and us continue to learn everything we need to know. Now, confirmands, this feels like the end of a pretty long process, doesn't it? You've put in a lot of hard work, you've studied, you've met, you've gone on retreats, you've learned a lot, but you know what? It's just the beginning. And the promise is that God's Spirit is with you throughout your life, teaching you everything you need to know. And that's true for the rest of us as well. Now, how does that happen? Well, let me tell you a story about one of my teachers in college. He was a young man with a fresh PhD from the University of Chicago. He came here to teach what we then called non-Christian religions. Not too exclusive, were we? His name was Charles Hambrick. In fact, it still is Charles Hambrick. He's a member of this congregation. And while he was my professor, I now get to be one of his pastors. All of the courses I took from Dr. Hambrick were academic courses. There were tests, there were papers. And yet, he knew that I was interested in stories and poems, in plays and performance. And so, when it came to the point that I had to produce something for the class, he encouraged me to practice the arts that I was interested in practicing, which I practice every week in your presence. I am so glad that someone told me it's okay in an academic setting to be a poet, to be a performer, to be someone who can tell a story. He not only gave me permission, he also gave me a place to practice. Now, we're all coming to the end of a long process, aren't we? Since last October, we've been focusing on those promises we make whenever we join the congregation or anyone else joins the congregation. We'll be making those promises again in a few minutes. Those promises are practices. They are the ways that we continue to learn from God's Spirit. Prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I know for some of you, you're thinking, Pentecost, whew, glad that's over with. But it's not. It's a lifelong journey. And God's Spirit is your companion on that journey. And those practices that we've talked about and practiced are the ways we continue to learn. John Wesley called them means of grace. They are the way we learn to be aware of that grace of God that surrounds us at every single moment of our lives. Otherwise, we get busy with the concerns of the world and we ignore God's grace. We're too busy to pay attention. These practices help us learn everything we need to know. Because you see, Jesus promised the Spirit would teach us everything we need to know. We're making a promise back that we will practice those practices that open us to everything we need to know. And the second thing the Spirit does is remind us of everything Jesus said. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have the Bible memorized, don't even have the New Testament memorized, and sometimes I have to go back and look things up, and I don't always remember exactly what Jesus said. One of the reasons we read Scripture every week is that we need to be reminded of what Jesus said. John Wesley thought that Scripture wasn't simply inspired when it was written. Now, by that, he didn't mean it was infallible. He didn't mean we had to take it literally at all. Being a good Anglican, he knew that you had Scripture, but you also had tradition and reason, and he added experience to that as ways of understanding the Scripture. But he also believed that God's Spirit inspired us when we read it and interpreted the Scripture today. So the Spirit's presence didn't stop back when it was written. It continues to be our companion, reminding us of everything Jesus said. That's a part of what the Spirit is to do. It's a part of Jesus' promise to each and every one of us. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty forgetful sometimes. In fact, fortunately, it didn't just start with my great old age. It's been true all through my life. In fact, my daughters used to call me Forgetful Jones, a character on Sesame Street, you may know. So we all need to be reminded of those things that are most important to us. That's a part of what we're doing here today with this confirmation class. As we ask you questions, as we give you a chance to answer, we are reminding you of the things you've already learned about what Jesus has said, about what Jesus has promised. There's a story that I learned in a class across the street, Southern Literature class. We're sitting in a lecture hall. The professor told a story about Dr. Edwin Mims, who was the chair of the English department for a number of years. I never knew Dr. Mims, but he was legendary. The story goes that he was lecturing to a fairly large class, and he noticed that to one side, there was a young woman who had a notebook open. She was sitting there, but she wasn't taking any notes. I mean, after all, that's why we take notes, right? To remind us of what happened in the lecture. But she wasn't writing a thing down. Finally, at the end of the lecture, he turned to this young woman and said, "Young lady, do you think you can remember everything I said during this lecture?" She said, "Oh, no, sir." He said, "Well, why weren't you writing anything down? Why weren't you taking notes?" She said, "Oh, I don't need to take notes. I have my mother's." Her mother had been a student of Dr. Mims, and those lectures had not changed. Just a funny story, except, you know what? I think the Bible are those notes. The Bible includes those notes that our mother or grandmother or great-grandmother passed down to us. We may not need to take those notes over again, but those notes are our reminder of everything Jesus said. We are inheritors of that. And so, today, God gives us the Spirit to teach us, the Spirit to remind us. And if we learn, and if we keep those things in mind, then we experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Jesus says, I don't give you peace the way the world does. That depends on how your life is going. My peace doesn't depend on how your life is going. My peace depends upon you learning that the Spirit is with you at all time and being reminded of what I told you. That's all it takes. And so that's the gift that we as a church try to give you today, young people, and try to give you today, young people. It's the gift to all of us. Thanks be to God.
It is with great joy, once again, we welcome each and every person gathered here for worship. Being together and getting to know one another is an important part of being the body of Christ here at West End. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns or joys that you'd like to have remembered this week. The other side is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership about the ministries of the church. Also, at the end of the pew, there is an attendance pad. If that has not yet made its way down the pew, we invite you to pass that down now, record your attendance, and then pass it back down. And when it's coming back by, open it, look at the names of the people you're worshiping with. It's another way we get to know each other, and we become connected through the Spirit that is present. We want to ask, if you don't mind, whoever is sitting on the inside of each pew, the last person to get the attendance pad, it's a tremendous help if you tear out the pages that are written on and place those on top of the pad when you leave. That saves the hospitality ministers a great deal of time after the service gathering those. Our condolences are extended this week to the family of Lucille Smith, who passed away last Sunday. Lucille was a longtime member of West End and was a chef down in the kitchen for us for a number of years. Her services will be held this coming Wednesday, May 22nd, at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Visitation will be at 1 o'clock, 1 hour prior to the service. With that, let us turn our hearts toward prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Loving and creating God, we gather here as your people, quietly waiting for your Spirit. Lord, we ask for guidance as we quiet our lives and quiet our minds. We ask for an awareness of the many gifts that you're sharing with us. Lord, we ask that you use each of us through the empowerment of your Spirit to continue the work of Jesus Christ, just as those early disciples did. Lord, we ask you to use us as the hands and the feet for people within this community who are struggling, who need support, and to need to know of your love for them. Lord, we ask you to extend that reach across this country and this planet, wherever people are hurting, wherever people are alone. Use us and those we are able to contact as channels of grace to affirm your love for them as well. Lord, we stand in solidarity with so many of our spiritual ancestors by sharing the stories of Scripture, by remembering those interpretations of their experiences of you. This day we ask that your Holy Spirit connect with us, and allow us to move beyond just those stories into your active participation in affirming life today, in this time, and in this place. We ask that you guide each of us and use us. And let us combine our voices together to pray the words that Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One great way to participate in what God is doing here and beyond is by presenting our tithes and our offerings. I invite you to do that at this point.
At this time, I invite the confirmation class and their parents and friends in faith to come to the communion rail. And as they are coming, I want to introduce them. Two of the great joys of the church are baptism and confirmation. This morning, Raleigh Scott Bergren, Evan Robert Rourke, and Alexandra Chandler Spadafino present themselves to God before the community of faith for baptism, and then join Stephen Wesley Beckham, Elizabeth Parker Bibb, Elena Nicole Klein, Walter Birdwell Dobson, Richard Bird Ferrara, Jackson Lee Guthrie, Parker Christian Guthrie, Julian O'Neill Haberman, Lewis William Hoyt, Abigail Hui Ying Lee, Jackson Ward Link, Margaret Durham Morgan, Navin Matilda Morgan Curtis, Cole McKinley Heath Morrison, and Lauren Nicole Pickens, as all are confirmed. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
And now to all those being baptized and confirmed, we have these questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you do, please say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. If you do, please say, I do. And now, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If you will, please say, I will.
And now, to the members of the congregation, I ask you, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
I invite the congregation to please stand as we profess the Christian faith contained in the affirmation of faith as written by this year's confirmation class. We believe
God is the creator of everything and is still creating. We believe God loves us unconditionally. God is real to us. We believe Jesus is both the divine Son of God and fully human. We believe He died on the cross for our sins. Jesus teaches us how to live by His example. He is our hope and reveals God's truth to us. We believe the Holy Spirit is unseen yet present. The Holy Spirit surrounds and protects us. We believe the Holy Spirit acts as a change agent to guide, comfort, and strengthen us. We believe people are created in God's image, but make mistakes. Therefore, we need God. We believe that God created us all individually for a purpose. It is our responsibility to worship God and to love one another. We believe that the church is a fellowship where people can worship and serve others. The church is a safe place where everyone is welcome. We believe that the church is a holy place where we can learn, worship, serve, and pray. We believe as disciples of Jesus, we must be open to God's will in our lives. Disciples of Jesus serve as the hands and feet of Christ in our world today. We believe as disciples of Jesus, we are called to spread the word of God. Let's move to the font.
Confirmands, will you please kneel? Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Your children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these young people who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. Congregation, you may be seated.
Lauren, Nicole, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Raven, Matilda, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Abigail, Wei Ying, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Louis William, remember your baptism.
Richard Byrd, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Elena Nicole, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Stephen Wesley, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Evan Robert, baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You may lay hands.
And family, if you'll put your hands on Evan. Evan, may the Holy Spirit be with you all your days, being born through water and the Spirit this day.
Raleigh Scott, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may lay hands on him. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Alexandra Candler, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alexandra, being born of water and the Spirit, may the Holy Spirit be with you all your days and make you a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Elizabeth Parker, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Walter Birdwell, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Jackson Lee, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Parker Christian, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Julian Anil, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Jackson Ward, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Margaret Durham, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Nicole McKinley, remember your baptism and be thankful. Confirmants, will you please stand? As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? Group, say, I will. All right. As members of this congregation at West End United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will.
Friends in faith and parents, you may now present your confirmand with their stoles. Confirmands, if you will turn now to face the congregation. If parents can kind of, friends in faith can kind of step behind and let the congregation see our confirmation class, that would be great. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now for those baptized and confirmed, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace all your days. Amen.
On behalf of the youth ministry here at West End, I want to welcome you into the youth group. We look forward to your involvement in our ministry as we grow together in being the loving light of Christ. Also, I invite the entire congregation to McWhorter Hall following the worship service to welcome this year's confirmation class as full members of Christ's Church and West End United Methodist Church.
And we would like to invite anybody who wants to stay, once you come down to welcome our confirmation class, there is the day school art show in that room as well, so it's a lively space today, and the all-church lunch is today. So if you want to eat, just stop by the table. There's a $10 charge for anyone who's participating, all of our confirmands, of course, and our new members who need to be making their way to the front at this point, are guests of the church on this special day. So if those who are joining the church want to start heading this way, and the confirmation class, you can go ahead and exit out of those doors into Reed Hall.
Yeah, be sure in.
And
be sure
and go down and scope out the best place in McWhorter Hall for your lunch. And then those who are the adults who are joining this morning, we can work your way. You can come on and come up here into the chancel instead of front of the communion rails so we can people can see you. We have a group of wonderful new members. We have two parents for two of the new confirmands. Our new youth members are joining today. We have Rolf Haberman here on your far left. Rolf is a doctor of internal medicine over at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And we have the Rolfs. Patrick and Jill Rolf are also joining. They have children that just joined the church as our new youth members. We also have Emily Hunter here. Emily's a city planner in Franklin. She's active in the Young Professionals Group, transferring from Aldersgate United Methodist in Jackson. Next, Amanda and Nate Fend. I think Amanda's at Vanderbilt, Nate's with Kingsport Capital, and they're joining from other denominations. And we have Jody and Eric Gamble and their three-year-old Ella. They are active in the Making Room Sunday School class. Eric's a teacher at Hume Fogg, one of the best high schools in the country. And Jody is at Vanderbilt Library. We have all baptized Christians are welcome to United Methodist Church because we honor all Christian baptisms. So we have five people up here this morning who are coming from other denominations to join West End. So for those, Amanda, Nate, Rolf, Jill, and Patrick, I ask you, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. Now, everyone that's standing up here, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries, by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me? Brothers and sisters, since you've already reaffirmed your own membership covenant with earlier in the service with our confirmands, I simply ask if you'll do the same with these, our newest members. Will you again reaffirm your membership covenant and do all in your power to uphold these people, to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love? If you will, say we will.
We will.
Great. Look forward to seeing as many people as possible downstairs for our lunch.
Jesus, my God, great joy of stars, and my own.
Well, the fire finally showed up, thanks to Charles Wesley. I send you forth into the world to learn from the Spirit, to be reminded of all that Jesus has taught you as you serve God and your neighbor. And may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.